Can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, age 36, congresswoman from New York, and now the leader of the pack in the New Hampshire polls.
What do you think? Oh, wow. I didn't see that yet. That's amazing.
Yeah, I just saw one. New Hampshire poll, UNH, which is reputable. AOC at 22, overtaking Pete Buttigieg at 21. Mark Kelly at 9, Gavin Newsom at 8, who's down from 15, Gavin is down from 15 in February. Bernie Sanders at 6, and Kamala Harris at 5. Ouch. And down from 10 points. She was at 10 in February. Now she's at 5. So, AOC is on the march. It's her moment.
Yeah, it really is. She, she was in Michigan kind of end of last week over the weekend. And, when asked if she was thinking about running for president, she said, I wouldn't rule it out. And, I think that's a pretty clear indication that she's definitely considering it. And these kind of poll results are going to just push that even farther forward.
I think that's right. She's 36. She's supposed to be 35 to be able to run for president. So obviously she's just sliding under the banner on that front.
Well, we still have 2 years too. So don't forget that.
That's right. So that'll work. I think about when I first started in politics, I was sort of taught the four M's. I think that's what they are. It's like money, media, message, and messenger. I think there's five, because then the fifth one would be sort of mechanics, right? The fifth one would be like, what kind of organization has this person put into place? So those five M's. I think she's a great messenger, obviously. Like, the camera loves her. She can turn people out, and she has important things to say. I think, and I was just looking up her money numbers, because I think that's always important. Let me just make sure I get it right. I saw she's the number one House fundraiser. She's raised $32.6 million. And in 2025, she broke her own record. She raised $9.6 million in the first quarter of 2025. And right now she's got $15 million cash on hand going into the midterms.
So a lot of money.
She got some ducats.
Yeah, and all of that federal money that she has in her congressional campaign account can get transferred directly into a presidential campaign account. She also has access to the Bernie list, I believe. And, that was obviously a huge money machine in both 2016 and 2020, just printing dollars, whatever, $27 at a time or whatever the average donation was.
Right.
I think there's also the big thing that is added to those five M's, though, is authenticity. And I know that goes into the messenger, but she is walking the walk. She is seen as authentic on these issues. I know she's starting to have some problems from the far left, saying she's not quite as left as she used to be, and she's kind of trending towards the center. But that is a very vocal group that's not necessarily in line with actual voters. And so she's going to have to appeal more to a middle crowd to actually get the nomination, and then obviously to win the general election.
Our friend Donnie Fowler once told me that there's a cohort of people out in San Francisco who always want to go for the most furthest left person, the most countercultural person. So for a long time, remember, way back in the day when Howard Dean was the guy, the furthest left guy, he had all the signs in the windows that everyone loved him. And then when Dean started to get, started to win and do well, then they all switched over to, what's the congressman's name from Ohio? Kucinich. They all became Dennis Kucinich voters. Because Kucinich was real, man. He was pure. That guy can't be bought. Howard Dean went mainstream. So it's just funny. I think that's it's a repetitive cycle of people who are always looking for, the most countercultural candidate out there.
Yeah. Once you try to moderate to appeal to a little bit larger group, you're not pure enough anymore. So, and you've kind of tainted yourself. So, but AOC seems to be doing a really good job of not being too far left while still keeping her very progressive values, and platform positions. I think for her, we're in an interesting time for this sort of Democratic Socialists of America, and kind of what's going to happen with them. We have, obviously Mamdani is incredibly popular. He's doing great things in New York City. So that is definitely a factor for her, helping her. And then we also have two races in the Michigan Senate race, the primary race, and the Wisconsin governor's race, where you have very prominent DSA candidates who are trying to get the nominations for those states. Now, people will talk about Mamdani won in New York and it's working in New York because it's a, super blue state. Wisconsin and Michigan are the two swing states that go back and forth that are critical to any Democrat winning this general election for president. If you have a situation where El-Sayed wins in Michigan, the primary, and Francesca Hong wins the primary in Wisconsin, you are going to find out whether these type of candidates can appeal to a general election audience in these big races. I think people are really freaking out about Wisconsin because they're saying, if you put a DSA candidate up, Wisconsin's always one of the closest states. Maybe it's a point, point and a half a point. Like, it's always just so close in the general election. I guess the question is maybe it's always so close in the general election because we are always putting forward sort of moderate, middle of the road, very safe candidates, not to kind of upset the other side. And so we're really going to find out. It looks like Francesca Hong has a pretty big lead in the primary right now, about 10 points over Crowley and Barnes. And so, if she can win, then it's really going to be a test of, can these sort of more socialist leaning candidates win in these big swing states? And if she can win, and if Syed gets the nomination in Michigan and he can win, I mean, then your argument of like these kind of very progressive candidates can't win is like completely and totally out the window in the Midwest. Now, I think if those two candidates win, a Senate seat and a governor's seat, I mean, I think that you're going to see AOC is going to be the presidential nominee, and she's probably going to win the general election because she's exactly meeting the moment right now.
Well, you said a minute ago, you were talking about the money. When we talked about the money, Bernie Sanders was like in the upper like $27 range or something like that. I think her average campaign donation is between $19 and $21 AOC. And those people can keep giving over and over again. And I think, she's not taking corporate PAC money. She's not taking federal lobbyist money. That all matters a lot. Her big quarter, I was looking at this, her big quarter was when, remember she did the fighting oligarchy tour with Bernie?
Yep, with Bernie.
And I think this goes to the idea of like campaign mechanics, right? Because she put a team together. They did a 40-city tour from February of 2025 to May of 2026, a 40-city tour. And they weren't just in like liberal hot, they didn't just go to San Francisco and New York and Boston. Yeah. They were in Texas and Oklahoma and Michigan and Minnesota, Louisiana even, Oklahoma. So, I mean, they were out there in the countryside. And I think that's important for this reason. When Barack Obama first started running for president and people wondered, right, can this black guy from Chicago like compete? One of the things that happened was Obama was able to travel around the country and go a lot of places to campaign. Frankly, that people didn't really want Hillary Clinton to come and campaign, right? There were places where Hillary, because she was such a name brand and so many negative ads had been run against her, they didn't necessarily want her. But Obama could come because he was new, he was fresh, he was energetic. People felt something. I think he feels something positively toward AOC, regardless of whether or not you agree with their politics.
Yeah, and I think more and more people do agree with her politics, right? People have been moving to the left on a lot of these policy positions, right? Medicare for all is a majority position at this point, especially at least in the Democratic Party. And with a little more education, it could be a position nationwide, right? And people are tired of medical bankruptcies. They see that the system is corrupt, and so they're looking for something different. These are like real changes that AOC is believed to want to bring to people and will probably be able to deliver to people. People are going to believe in her.
You know, I was at a poll briefing this week with a group of Democrats who, you know, people do these polls all the time. And one of them said, like, they're now seeing among the people who are like the gettable voters, the ones who maybe switch back and forth between, between Biden and Trump, Obama and Trump, Trump and Biden, Biden, Dexter, all those people.
Yeah.
That they all want change. That's just the fundamental point of it. It doesn't matter if they identify as Democrats, Republicans, or independents. They all want change. And they're about 16% of the electorate, roughly. And they all want change. And that these voters are looking for somebody who isn't just going to go and just get along with whatever the existing power structure is and tinker around the edges. They may vary on some of the issues. They also really want things to happen fast, like price, like, you know, fixing the prices of groceries. You know, so it's not just like, let's go put a tax on somebody else. They're for that. But if you tell them you're going to like put a cap on how fast you can, on inflation, on groceries, or we're not going to tax groceries anymore at the local or state level or federal level, like that is something that really matters to people. And they want real hands-on government action to make their lives better quickly.
I completely agree. And also, now you're going to have the Mamdani experiment, which is, you know, it's only 6 months in so far, but he has delivered a ton of results very quickly. He has shown that you actually can change the political system and these intractable issues. You know, he's just like, well, we just have to have the will to fix them. But he's doing it, right? Like he's getting pilot programs to do kind of, universal child care. He's going to have these, 170 bus lines that are going to go faster. He's like, you know, he's frozen rent in rent control departments, all of these different things. He's fixing potholes. Also, New York is safer than it's ever been in the last, 30, 40 years. Like the murder rates and the violent crime rates are at historic lows. So all of these, you know, sort of scare tactics people used in New York City to try to like push back against Mamdani, that it was going to be this socialist, you know, hellscape, you know, they're just not true. Like even especially the public safety ones. Like if he's also delivering, you know, all of these things to the citizens of New York, making it more affordable, and the city is still safe. You know, this is all proof that AOC's policies could work, and it's going to be helping her in bringing people along. People may believe that change is actually possible.
Okay, Matt Butler, you're my betting guru, so I got to ask you this question: AOC, does she run or does she not run?
I think we see how El Sayed and Francesca Hong do, and see how some other sort of progressive left candidates do between now and the midterms. And I think that really tells you a lot. So if, El Sayed wins the nomination, Hong wins the nomination, they both lose, I think that's probably going to be problematic for her. Because it just, the electability argument is going to be, you know, that's what, kind of trailed and dragged down Bernie for so long. That people won't believe that she's electable. They won't be able to believe that we can get over the hump in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And so she's going to be a non-starter for the Democratic nomination. And she may say, look, there's probably no path for me here. I'm going to take myself out and run either for Senate or, you know, leadership in the House. But if either of those two candidates get in, I think she's definitely running.
Okay, we heard it here first. I think that she, I think the Senate's going to be super tempting. It's very hard to mount a presidential campaign. And the age factor, I think maybe if she was like 3 or 4 years older, I could see her doing it. The age factor will matter in the course of the primaries. I could see her running for the United States Senate this time and then for president, like right after. But, you know, what the hell do we know?
Yeah. Does she have any executive? Any executive ambitions? Like, what about running for governor of New York at some point? Because that would be a really good platform to run for president from.
It could, but I gotta tell you, normally it would be, but I think when you come from New York City, being a senator or being mayor of New York is probably more glamorous than being governor of New York. I think being mayor of New York City might be a better job than governor.
Yeah. So, well, unfortunately, Mamdani can't run. So, you know, otherwise we'd have our superstar in there.
I don't know, maybe it's the dynasty. Maybe it's the DSA dynasty. Mamdani for two terms and then AOC
as mayor for two terms.
And then AOC for president at 50. And she'd still be like 50 years old.
Yeah, no, it'd be great. It'd be great for her.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you, Jamal.